God. Please rise out of respect for the gospel, the words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The sermon reading today, the gospel reading, is from St. John chapter 14, beginning at verse 15. The reading goes like this: If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more. But you will see me, because I live, you also will live. In that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and manifest myself to him. This is the gospel of the Lord. Lord, I just pray now as we hear your words that you send your Spirit here to fill me with the words that you have for us today, Lord. Open our hearts and minds to hear those words and to take them to heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Have you ever had to say goodbye? Of course you have. You know, I think of every day at work, and I know I'm going to miss this at some point in time, but every day when I'm getting ready to leave for work, I'll say goodbye to my wife, and it's like supersonic ears hear that I'm saying goodbye. Because all of a sudden a 3-year-old and a 5-year-old run up to me and say, Daddy, Daddy, you have to give me a hug before you go bye-bye. What an awesome thing that is. We get pretty used to saying goodbye, whether it's on the phone, whether it's a spouse going off to a work trip. We say goodbye on a pretty regular basis, don't we? But then again, there's a lot of times where we have those uncomfortable goodbyes, isn't it? We're celebrating this weekend Memorial Day. And what about a family member that is a soldier going off to war? That's not the most exciting goodbye because we don't know the outcome. Or a family member, or a loved one, or a good friend that passes away. And we have to say goodbye. There's lots of situations that when we say goodbye, it's fairly uncomfortable. In the scripture reading that we just heard a couple minutes ago, we heard Jesus getting ready to say goodbye to his disciples, didn't we? We heard Jesus saying, I'm going to be going away. And he's giving them some instructions of what's going to happen and what you should do. Some of you might listen to the radio, and while there's not a lot of great choices for Christian radio in our area, 103.5 has a radio personality named Bob Dutko. And if you've listened to him recently, you've probably heard about him talking about his daughter. See, he had a 15-year-old daughter that it seemed like everything was going just fine. And he's sitting next to her, and all of a sudden she says, Daddy, I don't feel real good. She passes out into his arms and then passes away. Not what he planned and not how he planned to say goodbye to his 15-year-old daughter. But he talked about this last week, and or maybe 2 weeks ago or a little bit ago, on one of his radio shows, talked about what a blessing it was that his daughter left something behind. She left behind a diary. And you see, it was really strange because she didn't normally write a lot in it. She wrote things about what was going on that day and about this boy she liked and about this band and, you know, those things that teenage girls might write about. But the last entry in her diary, she wrote some instructions. She wrote some things down about what she would like to see if she wasn't around anymore. She wrote some things down about how important her parents were to her, how important her faith was, and how she looked forward to seeing God up in heaven. Now, what an awesome comfort that was for Bob Dutko to have, even in this unexpected goodbye, an opportunity to hear this from his daughter, to see it in her own handwriting, how she loved him, how she cared for him, how her hopes and dreams were set in a way that was pleasing to God. You see, it was a really awesome thing for that to be laid out like that. But you know what's even better? Jesus today in our passage is getting ready to say goodbye. He's preparing his disciples and us in a way that's way better than Bob Duco's daughter. See, if you open up your Bibles, you want to follow along today, we're going to continue kind of going through John 14. We're going to go through those verses that we saw there, starting at verse 15. You see, let's see what God says today in our text. It starts out with these words. It says, "If you love me, you'll keep my commandments." You know, we're all here at church, so there's probably an understanding that we all love God, right? We all love Jesus. But what did he follow up with right after that? "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." I love how Jesus always keeps us honest, huh? We want to say, "Yes, I love you, Lord. I love you." We'll sing it in our songs. "I love you, Lord. And if you love me, you will keep my commandments." Do you love Jesus? Really? Do you keep his commandments? Do you love Jesus? As a result, we're going to keep his commandments, all of them? Well, what a great way to start here, Lord. I mean, you know I don't murder, and you know I'm here at church, so I'm keeping your Sabbath day holy. But then it comes to some of those other ones, right? Shouldn't covet and bear false witness, keeping my thoughts. How do I do this? How do I really love you, Lord? How do I show you my love if you're telling me in order to show you my love, I have to keep your commandments? Not an easy thing to do, but right here is the beauty of Jesus, isn't it? Isn't this how he knows us? He knows that we can't do it. He knows that when left to our best efforts, we fail. We screw up over and over again. Our sins show through. We try. We can't do it ourselves. But he also knows that when we actually are able to follow his commands, life sure would be better for us, wouldn't it? We sure wouldn't get ourselves into some of the pickles we get ourselves into. Because isn't it true that we receive comfort with a job well done? Isn't it true that we receive blessing when we follow the things that we're supposed to follow, when things go well? Don't things go better when we do the things we're supposed to do? If you follow me, if you love me, you will follow my commands. But what an amazing God we have, because as we continue into verse 16, the next verse here, it says that he will give us another helper. And some translations here will say counselor or advocate. I don't know about you, but when I get myself into a pickle or a problem, I sure would like a helper. I sure would like a counselor or somebody to advocate on my behalf. Don't you agree with me on that one? I see some heads nodding. Absolutely. It sure is helpful that when we're in these messes that God is going to send somebody to advocate in our case, to be there, to be our helper. You see, we've already established that we can't show God our love on our own because we can't follow his commands, can we? No matter how hard we try, we still fail. We'll still screw up. But what if we had someone, something, to provide us counsel, to help us, to advocate on our behalf, to help us through this wretched life? And here Jesus promises to send that helper to us. But unfortunately, it doesn't help everybody, does it? Because see, in the next verse, verse 17, we hear this, that the Spirit of truth isn't helpful for all, that the whole world can't receive him. Why is that? Why can't the whole world see him, receive him? Well, quite simply, because they don't know him. They don't want him. Because it is he that neither sees him nor knows him, is what the verse says. But it continues on, "You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." Well, who is this counselor? Who is this advocate, this helper that Jesus is sending? We know it's the Holy Spirit, right? We see those that know him know how to value the Holy Spirit, invite him and bid him welcome so that the Holy Spirit can be part of our daily life, can be air to our breath, water to our soul, the very part of our being. The Holy Spirit needs to be in us and through us and asking him to manifest himself through us. Are we doing that on a regular basis? Are we asking the Holy Spirit to work in us, to work through us, to help us through every part of our day? You see, Jesus is saying goodbye. He's getting ready for his impending death, his resurrection, and the ascension into heaven. This is the same ascension that we as a church body, I don't know if you knew this, we actually celebrate this on Thursday. Do the math, it's 40 days after Easter. Has it been that long already? It has. He was preparing his disciples and us to function here on earth without his bodily presence here. He's sending his Holy Spirit to be our helper, to be our counselor, to be our advocate when life gets tough. See, this Memorial Day weekend, we remember those that have gone off to war and paid the ultimate sacrifice. I can only imagine saying goodbye to a loved one, to a parent, to a spouse, or a child, not knowing if they'd ever come back from war. We can be so thankful for the sacrifice that these men and women have done for us to go overseas, to protect our liberties, to protect this awesome country that we have. But when we're thankful for the ultimate sacrifice that these soldiers have done for us here on earth, we can also be even more thankful for the sacrifice that Jesus made for us. And see, that's where this story continues in verse 18. Jesus gives us the promise that even though he's leaving, I will not leave you as orphans. No human being could ever promise this. No one wants to be an orphan. In a sense, though, we make ourselves orphans, don't we? By ignoring the commands of our Heavenly Father, we cut ourselves off from him. Imagine being Adam and Eve for a moment. Could you imagine being Adam and Eve? Where they're in this Garden of Eden, this amazing, perfect place where there's animals that they can see every day. Not like going to the Detroit Zoo or the Toledo Zoo, but being in the presence of animals that Adam named each and every one of them, where the weather was perfect, but even better than that, they were walking beside God. They were walking beside God. But then, there was this fruit on this tree, the tree of knowledge and good and evil, and they learned the knowledge of good and evil, didn't they? Because God said, don't take anything from that tree. Anything else you can do, but not that one tree. And they learned what knowledge of good and evil was. And by doing that, they caused themselves to be orphans. Because they were the children of God, and they decided, God, I don't want to listen to what you said. I'm going to do what I want. And don't we do the very same things? Don't we every day say, God, it's okay. I'm going to do what I want to do. And we make ourselves orphans. We separate ourselves from our Heavenly Father in the same way that Adam and Eve did as well. Our sinfulness keeps us from being with God. And thus we become his orphans. Each and every time we sin, it's like saying to God, forget it, Dad. I don't care. I'm going to do it my way. But the really awesome thing is that Jesus provides that forgiveness that we need. He brings that bridge back again. He takes us from that orphanage of sin and brings us to that place that he's prepared for us in the mansions of heaven. Kind of reminds me of a musical story, doesn't it? Being an orphan taken to a mansion. But no matter how great Annie may have had it, we have it way better than that, don't we? Because God loves us. He cares for us and provides us with a way to live our life. Talk about a rags-to-riches story. Annie may have had it, but he sends his comforter, his spirit of truth, to be with us every day to give us strength to get through this daily life. He sends his spirit, and by his grace alone, we are able to live as his children, of the children of God, here in this world. How awesome is that reminder that our God loves us so much that not only does he adopt us as his own children when we screw up, but he sends the Spirit to guide us, to comfort us, to direct us, to give us counsel. He would send the Spirit of truth to help the disciples and us remain in truth, to follow his will, to be able to follow his commands and remember all of his promises. And through it all, Jesus himself would give them life through his death and resurrection on the cross. For even though Jesus was about to die, he would soon rise again from the dead to live eternally. It's this resurrection, it's this eternal life that he provides for us that gives us the hope and the knowledge of the forgiveness of sins. You see, this is Jesus' way of preparing the disciples for what was going to come. It was this way of comforting, saying, hey, guys, it's going to get strange here pretty soon. I'm going to die, but don't worry. I will send you a comforter. I will send you a helper. And then Jesus rises from the dead, and the disciples again think, hey, he's back again. But that's not what his plan was, because Jesus' plan was, on this Thursday, to ascend back into heaven. And there are the disciples who are gaping up into heaven going, uh-oh, what happens now? All they had to do was remember that he was sending them his Spirit to guide them and direct them. Because Jesus will return and take us to heaven, to those awesome mansions. Whether it's while we're still living or whether it's a glorious return going back up to heaven, when we pass away, Jesus will not leave us forever. Even though he's gone, he's here among us with his Spirit. There might be times in our life that we might feel orphaned, that we might feel all alone as human beings, because maybe somebody passed away in our life, maybe because there's different things going on that just make us feel all by ourselves. It's at those times that we especially need to remember that he has sent his Holy Spirit to comfort us, to guide us, to direct us. He has not left us orphaned. In fact, he has gone to prepare that awesome place for us and sends us his Spirit to guide us through every day. As Christians, we can look forward to that reunion in heaven, that even when somebody passes away, that we know that it's not a forever goodbye, but it's really just an earthly see you later. Because as Christians, we have that assurance to know that we are forgiven and he's waiting for us up in heaven. See, this weekend, as we celebrate and honor those who have given the ultimate sacrifice, let's also not forget to honor Jesus, who has given us the ultimate sacrifice by dying on that cross, giving us the assurance of the forgiveness of sins, and then sending his Spirit to guide us and direct us every day of our life. Don't we have an awesome God that cares for us so much? Amen. Let's pray together and thank God for the assurance that he gives us. Dear Lord, we just thank you and praise you to know that you love us, to know that you care for us, that you guide us and lead us, and that even that when we feel all alone and when we sin, that you will send your Spirit to guide us, to help us through our daily life, to protect us and to fill us with your word. Lord, we just pray that you, when we feel down, that you can help us. Put people in our lives to remind us that your Spirit is there. Help that Spirit to stir within us and give us the power to share your love with everybody around us. Amen. Dan, we got some announcements?